Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. And yesterday we began a conversation with our friends Jairus and Kara, and they are former Mormons. They came out of the Mormon church not too terribly long ago, and they've been kind of telling their story. And Jairus, we want to kind of pick up with you two as far as you've recognized that there are some problems. And so you're starting to check this out. You told us off air how you actually went on a website and you had read about Joseph Smith being a Freemason. Mm-hmm. Why don't you kind of pick up that story and tell us where that went?
Sure. Yeah, obviously one of the biggest concerns of Mormonism, again, is the anti-Mormon literature. So I want to preface this with, in my research, I was always very, very cautious to make sure what I was reading, was it anti-Mormon or is it true, you know, from the Mormon church, mm-hmm. you know? And so I did my due diligence in making sure. And I believe the portion, I can't recall, but I believe it was on a BYU website. But anyways, yeah, I came across something saying that Joseph Smith was a Mason, and I had never heard the term before other than brick Masons.
Okay.
And so I was going, okay, so let's look into what this is. You know, I want to know what this is talking about. And so found out it was associated as Freemasonry, and I just Googled the word Freemasonry. And first result on the very top was a Wikipedia article about Freemasonry. And through reading the article, I come to realize that there's not a single mention of the LDS Church, of Joseph Smith, of anything Mormonism related, anything. But as I read through the Wikipedia article for Freemasonry, I all of a sudden start realizing, oh my goodness, I'm reading the Temple Endowment. And it was nearly verbatim. I mean, the tokens, the symbols, everything was there. Some words or some wording may have been altered a little bit, of course, but it was the same ceremony. And then when I learned that Joseph Smith had, he had become a Mason, a Master Mason, I guess it was, about 2 months.
Yeah, it was a very short time.
Right before
he institutes the endowment.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's rushing through my mind of, oh my goodness, the Temple Endowments, it's a scam. It's a knockoff of Masonry.
And you, as a Latter-day Saint, were always told what about the endowment ceremony?
It was directly from God, inspired of God. It was his endowment that was restored, that was used in the days of Solomon.
Now, I'm curious. Something like that, did you share that with Kara?
Not immediately.
Okay. How would you have reacted? Well, how did you react when you heard that eventually?
Well, finally, he decided to tell me since I had started asking more questions and became more curious. And he's like, you got to read this. And so he pulled up the webpage. I mean, it wasn't him just telling me these things. I was actually reading it for myself. And the same thing, I felt like I was reading the Temple Endowment, and I started clicking even more to find more information on Freemasonry and timelines of when it was started, so that I could, you know, okay, well, this was started years before Joseph Smith even was alive. And mm-hmm. I was just, at that moment, I was reading that and I just felt gross. At this point, I was still wearing my garments, and I had to take them off. I didn't feel like they were even pure anymore. They lost complete meaning.
Did your life seem to change a little bit after you stopped wearing the garments?
No.
Okay, it was pretty much the same story. Because I've had people tell me that once they take those things off, that it's almost like their eyes open up. I'm not saying that that's something that always happens with everybody, but I've actually had people tell me stories like that.
I could say it probably accelerated after that. Things kind of picked up towards us coming to Christ. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of superstition that is connected with the garments. And I've always looked at it as just cotton and polyester, you know. But you talk to some ex-Mormons, boy, it had a real spiritual hold they felt.
Okay, Jairus, so this is all happening between 2009, 2010, the summer of 2010. When do you believe you became a believer? When did you understand enough to be able to say, I am a Christian who is saved by the blood of Jesus only? Was there a point in time, or it just was a continuing process?
There was a general time of probably about two or three months preceding August 2010 that I had accepted in my mind Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, and his gospel as is taught in the Bible, but I hadn't officially, you know, given over, I guess. That didn't happen till August 15th.
August 15th. How do you, so you have a day. How do you know it was August 15th?
That was a day. Kara and I had gone to, we'd started going to Calvary Chapel St. George. We'd been there about 2 weeks now, I think it was. And, you know, we'd gone to the Sunday morning service, but in the evening, we had attended a prayer around the world service. Church prayer service. And something we'd never experienced in our lives. I mean, you know, a church body getting together and praying together in a sanctuary, in a room all together. And it was surreal. And I couldn't believe the spirit that we felt there. But that was the night that both Kara and I, you know, officially was like, okay, Lord, this is all or nothing. We're yours now.
Hmm. Well, and at the end of the service, a lot of pastors will do the sinner's prayer, mm-hmm. and they'll invite whoever hasn't accepted Jesus Christ into their hearts and lives to raise their hands or whatever. And our pastor at the time, he did offer for people to raise their hands, and I am so shy. But he does always mention at the end of that, if you raised your hand and if you didn't, repeat this prayer with us. And so, I mean, Jairus also didn't raise his hand. He's not shy, but we both accepted Christ that night. And later we talked about it. We didn't realize that we both had done that at the same night. And it was really cool to know that we did it on the same night. And
what was the reaction of the pastors when they found out that you guys became believers?
He was excited. It was interesting because the very first time we went there, he was the very first face we saw, and we didn't know who he was. We just thought he was some friendly guy there. And he took immediate interest in us, and, you know, we listened to his sermon, and afterwards we gave him, you know, we gave him our story of kind of what we're doing, that we were still kind of investigating churches. You know, we wanted to give some other churches a feel to test, I guess you could say, test the waters out there to see what other churches were really teaching, rather than just what is the, you know, what's kind of said in the background when you hear among Mormons. And so he knew our background, but then that evening when he found out, I mean, he was
ecstatic.
He was ecstatic.
Did you, after making that decision, did you tend to see a lot of your stereotypes of evangelical Christians kind of either being reinforced, or were they crumbling? Because I know there's a lot of stereotypes and there's a lot of caricatures that Latter-day Saints have regarding what we believe, you know, and I'm just wondering, what were your thoughts on that?
The biggest stereotype that I noticed that was completely abolished was this idea that these quote-unquote born-again believers believe that you are saved by grace and all you have to do is call in the name of Jesus and you can go on and sin and do whatever you want the rest of your life.
That's a very typical caricature.
I heard that my entire life.
Right.
And very rapidly, I mean, very immediately, I realized that was wrong. That was a lie. That is not what Christians believe.
So you saw a group of believers that were not just, they were serious about a faith in Jesus, but also serious in wanting to live a life that glorified him.
Serious, devoted. So. And I could honestly say, and this isn't meant to be offensive, you know, because I know there's very many good-willed Mormons out there, but I could seriously say there are more devoted, I've seen more devoted and more honestly God-seeking and praising people that I've seen in the Christian body than when I was in the LDS church.
Kara, how about you? Did it reinforce stereotypes or did they break?
Well, one of the stereotypes that comes to mind is, like what Jairus said, is I can just sin and it doesn't matter. Also, I mean, just the thought of, like, if I sin, am I forgiven? And those questions were running through my mind at this time. And it was about the same time that I decided that, you know, this list that I'd been given in a blessing a few years prior of my requirements that I need to do in order to receive blessings in my life, I decided that, well, I didn't decide, but I found out that I can't earn my blessings. I can't earn grace at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my pain and my anguish and my struggle. I left it at the cross.
Mm.
And I wish I knew the exact verse reference in Philippians. But my pastor, who I remember him talking about the story, he said, just leave your backpack at the cross. And I left my backpack and...
Amen.
Some of us have big backpacks. I know my backpack was pretty big.
Jairus, we don't have much time left. But we only have a couple minutes, but could you quickly tell somebody who's listening out there, they're probably thinking, boy, I could never do what they did, but they envy you guys for having gone out and done that, and maybe they want to go on their own spiritual quest. Where should they start?
The Bible, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And I know there's lots of Mormons that'll say that, yeah, I've read the Bible. I know what the Bible says. My challenge would say, read the Bible as though you have never read it before. Read it as a child, as though, or as somebody who has never heard anything before. One of my favorite ones that I actually hear is by Pastor Mike Kessler in Twin Falls, Idaho. And he says, if you were to be stranded on an island and you see this book wash up on the shore that you've never read before, take the book for what it tells you as if you read it there,
mm-hmm.
without knowing anything else. Read it as a child and you will get what the true message of the Bible is in it.
Bill, we hear that so many times, like Adams Road.
Michael Wilder said the same thing. That's what the pastor told him.
Yeah. I mean, he said to read your Bible, and so Michael Wilder took him up on that. You guys know the story of Adams Road in 2005, and mm-hmm. now they have a band that came out of these four Mormon missionaries. But that's how – read the epistles. If you've never read Romans, if you've never read Galatians and Ephesians, read those like you've never read before without having anything to taint what it really does say. Exactly. And I think you're going to be amazed like what you have found out.
Absolutely. And certainly, if you're a Latter-day Saint listening, this can be your story as well. If you're struggling, not knowing whether you've done enough, you're not good enough, place your total trust in what Jesus did on the cross, because he is, in fact, all sufficient.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, corresponds to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.